Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text 39, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Dehe Panchatvam Apane Dehi Karma Anugaha Avashaha Deha Antaram Anuprapya Praktanam Chajate Vapuhu Dehe Panchatvamapane Dehi karmanugo vashaha Dehantaram anuprapya Praktanam tyajate vapuhu Dehe panchatvamapanne Dehi karmanugo vashaha Dehantaram anuprapya Praktanam tyajate vapuhu
Dehe panchatvamapanne
Dehe panchatvamapanne
Dehi karmanugo vashaha
Dehi karmanugo vashaha
Dehantaram anuprapya
Panchatvamapanne
Ladies, please. Dehe, when the body. Panchatvam, apanne, turns into five elements. Dehi, the proprietor of the body, the living being. Karma, anugaha, following the reactions of his own fruitive activities. Avashaha, spontaneously, automatically. Deha, antaram, another body, made of material elements. Anuprapya, receiving as a result. Praktanam, the former. Tyajate, gives up. Vapuhu, body. Translation of the verse. When the present body turns to dust and is again reduced to five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. The proprietor of the body, the living being, automatically receives another body of material elements according to his fruitive activities. When the next body is obtained, he gives up the present body. Purport. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, which presents the beginning of spiritual understanding. Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumarang yovanangjara tata dehantara praptir dhiras tatra na muhyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. A person or an animal is not the material body, rather the material body is the covering of the living being. Bhagavad Gita compares the body to a dress, covering the body to a dress, and elaborately explains how one changes dresses one after another. The same Vedic knowledge is confirmed here. The living being, the soul, is constantly changing bodies one after another. Even in the present life, the body changes from childhood to boyhood, from boyhood to youth, and from youth to old age. Similarly, when the body is too old to continue, the living being gives up this body and, by the laws of nature, automatically gets another body according to his fruitive activities, desires, and ambitions. The laws of nature control this sequence, and therefore, as long as the living entity is under the control of the external material energy, the process of bodily change takes place automatically, according to one's fruitive activities. Vasudev therefore wanted to impress upon Kamsa that if he committed the sinful act of killing a woman, in his next life he would certainly get a material body still more conditioned to the sufferings of material existence. Thus, Vasudev advised Kamsa not to commit sinful activities. One who commits sinful activities because of ignorance, tamoguna, obtains a lower body. Karanang guna sango sya sadasadiyoni janmasu. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 22. There are hundreds and thousands of different species of life. Why are there higher and lower bodies? One receives these bodies according to the contaminations of material nature. If in this life one is contaminated by the mode of ignorance and sinful activities, duskriti, in the next life by the laws of nature, one will certainly get a body full of suffering. The laws of nature are not subservient to the whimsical desires of the conditioned soul. Our endeavor, therefore, should be to associate always with sattva-guna and not indulge in rajoguna or tamoguna, rajas-tamo-bhavaha. Lusty desires and greed keep the living entity perpetually in ignorance and prevent him from being elevated to the platform of sattva-guna or shuddha-sattva-guna. One is advised to be situated in Shuddha Sattva Guna, devotional service, for thus one is immune to the reactions of the three modes of material nature. Uma Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namasreshtam Manumapi Shachiputram Atra Swarupam Rupam tasyagrajam urupurim maturim goshtavartim Radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shrigurum tamnatosmi Vandeham shriguru shriyataf padakamalam shrigurun vaishnavascha Shirupam sagrajatam sahagarna raghunatam vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savad hutang parijana sahitam krishna taitanya devam shiradha krishna padan sahagarna lalita shivishakan vitam scha guru vaishnav bhagavan tine smarane hoi bigna binashan anayashe Hare Nija Vanchita Puran. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Some similarity here. Tenth canto of Bhagavatam is the essence of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is the essence of the Mahabharata. Or the two, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the two great jewels in Mahabharata are Bhagavad Gita and Vishnu Sahasranama. So both Gita and the tenth canto of Bhagavatam begin, after a little preamble, with discussion of the difference between the body and the soul. And it's the instructions that Vasudeva is giving to Kamsa here are just parallel with those of Krishna's given to Arjuna. There's a lot of difference. The analogy breaks down if we see Krishna and Arjuna and Vasudeva and Kamsa. Kamsa is definitely not in the position of shishyasteham shadimang tvam prapannam, of being a surrendered soul to Vasudeva. But he was influenced by Vasudeva's instruction. There is an instruction of Charnakya. Which Charnakya means he didn't invent all this stuff. The verses he gave are either from ancient Shastras or they're based on Shastra, and a lot of just based on what we can call common sense. Just like yesterday, we had the instruction heard from Vasudeva that everyone has to die. So it's just an observable fact that everyone can see. So instructions of Charnakya, it's an observable fact also, this Payopanam Bhujanganam Kevalavishavardhanam Upadesho Himurakanam Prakopaya Pakalpate. Just as feeding milk to a snake increases the poison of the snake, so giving good instruction to a rascal makes him more rascalish, makes him upset. If you tell a rascal you're very good, he'll become very happy. And if you tell him you're a rascal, he'll become very unhappy. So speaking the truth to a rascal is not very propitious. What do you do in such a situation? You have to speak the truth, but if you speak the truth, it makes him worse. But if you tell him he's very good, that will also make him worse. So it's with all due respect to the dead and gone Stephen Covey, it's a lose-lose situation. So then we get another instruction of Chanakya. Well, it's common. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Asat Sangatiya Gai Vaishnavacha. Chanakya says, what is that? Bhaja Sadhu Tyaja Durjana Sangsargam Bhaja Sadhu Samagamam. What's the next line? Kuru Punya Mahoratra. Smaran Nityam Anittatvam Kuru Punya Horatra. Give up the company of rascals and worship and associate with saintly people. And remembering that everything here is temporary, perform pious activities day and night. So this instruction that the body is temporary. The body is temporary, everything is temporary, except the dehi, the same is the same term as we have in Bhagavad Gita, dehi or dehin, dehinosmin, dehi, dehin, same thing. Just like we have yogi, yogin, sannyasi, sannyasin, it's just a different case, but they can both be used when you transpose it into English. Dehi is translated here as the proprietor of the body, the living entity, the living being. That's one way of looking at it, but he's not really the proprietor. That discussion comes up. Where is that in the Bhagavatam? Who is actually the owner of the body? That comes up right here in the beginning of the 10th canto, isn't it? Where does that come? Who is the owner of the body? Is it the person who owns it, or is it the person he works for? Or is it the relatives, or is it the people in general? Or how can you say he owns the body? Where is that in Bhagavatam? Right, it's right here, just after this, isn't it? Yeah, I believe it. I don't remember. Anyone else remember? That also reflects whatever's stated here. It's all coming out of Upanishadic considerations also. So then, why is Vasudev giving good instruction to a rascal? Well, first thing, why is he associating with a rascal? That's the first, because you're supposed. What's the solution? If you give good instruction to a rascal, he gets worse. And if you give bad instruction to a rascal, or if you tell him the truth that he's a rascal, then he gets worse. Either way, he gets worse. So the solution is don't associate with rascals. But what do you do? It's hard not to. It's hard not to have bad aside, just in dealings. Vasudeva was by family arrangement. Hare Krishna. By family arrangement, he got a brother-in-law who's just the biggest rascal of the day. Rascal du jour, something like that. What do you do in such a situation? Where you say, well, you should avoid such a marriage? But it could be very difficult with family alliances and all this kind of thing, and exactly how the marriages are arranged. Srila Prabhupada's father arranged the marriage of Srila Prabhupada's sister to a non-devotee, and one of his sisters anyway, who she was initiated, Harinam initiation from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and she was married into a family of flesh eaters. She'd never had any experience of such a thing in her life. She was married like that. What to do? It's hard to find. Sometimes very hard to find husbands, and at least in society at that time, it was considered that all girls have to get married. And that's changing now in India, like everything in good in Indian culture is changing and adopting mlecha culture, or the worst culture. So what should Vasudev do in such a situation? He had to think quickly. Nowadays, we read this and we know what's going to happen, so we don't get disturbed. But it must have been extremely disturbing for Vasudev. And he didn't have the bodily... He's also a kshatriya, but he didn't have the bodily strength to kill Kamsa. And even if he'd tried, Kamsa has all his bodyguards with him. Vasudeva was a kshatriya, but we don't find much of the... We don't hear about him fighting or anything. There's a verse comes in Padyavali, I believe it is, as quoted in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, about Ugrasena. It says, King Porusham, what... Do you know that verse? What strength did he have? And it said about Gajendra, what knowledge did he have? And then there are others also. What purity did Kubja have? But anyway, by their devotion, they satisfied Krishna. So So why did Vasudeva, he had to think quickly on the spot what to do. So he did, he tried to reason with him. He was able to change his mind for a short time, but he wasn't able to change his nature. That's the great Mahavadanyata of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's able to change the nature. Whereas other avatars, someone's too demoniac, they just kill them. That's all. Whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his whole process is one of reform and bringing even the most rascal demons to their original pure state. This Bhagavad Gita is distributed now all over the world. Krishna says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, this knowledge should not be distributed to those who are not austere, who are envious, who are not engaged in devotional service. And we're distributing them all over the world to all kinds of people, going against Krishna's instruction. That's wrong, isn't it? Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction is Jare Deko Tare Koho Krishna Upadesh Patra Patra Bichana Hinahi Stana Stan Jai Jaha Pai Tare De Prem Dan. Without consideration of who's qualified and who's not qualified, the Pancha Tattva, they what's a proper place and what is not a proper place. They distribute love of God. And particularly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is famous. It was such a big thing, delivering Jagaya Madhai. It's a huge thing. It created a sensation, which is remembered for centuries in songs. But Jagaya Madhai, they just seem, nowadays it seemed like good, respectable citizens, practically. Yeah, they killed a few people here and there. And robbing, and stealing, and raping, and drunkenness. No respectable gentleman fails to get drunk at least once a week or whatever. One of my godbrothers, this was going back in the 1970s, he told me he'd gone into an office of one of them, because they go into the universities for selling sets of Prabhupada's books, so they go to the Indology professors. So he entered the office 10 o'clock in the morning of one of the most reputed Indology scholars. He was excited, he's going there. He found him flat on his desk, drunk. You also, Tattvavit, you have a lot of experience with the Finnish hierarchy or the aristocracy. And although Russians are famous for drinking vodka, I think the Finns probably outdo them, don't they? You would know, I don't know. So aristocracy means very sophisticated, at least in the Western world, very sophisticatedly eating, drinking, and what you're eating, let's not talk about that in Bhagavatam class. Eating, drinking, mating, and defending, or being aggressive, exploiting. Srila Prabhupada pointed out that what is the aristocracy in Britain? That some, just like he gave the example of Lord Clive, he was a ship's boy. He was he came on the ship, just doing work on the ship, and somehow he became a big man, and he became Lord Clive. They'd come to India with nothing, and then the whole system is rigged, so anyone with a little bit of intelligence can get ahead and get lots of money, and they go back and give some money to the king and they become a knight or a lord or something like this. So this is aristocracy. Some way back, your forefathers, they were able to get to the top of the pile, and then it goes on, generation after generation. Whereas in the Vedic system, it's supposed to be maintained the aristocracy. It means Brahmins and Kshatriyas are the aristocracy, and it's maintained generation after generation by proper practice. And if you don't live up to it, then you're not a Brahmana, you're a Brahma Bandhu or a Kshatra Bandhu. Yesterday I was talking about the legal system and Shastra, how in the Vedic system it's based on Shastra, but it's interpreted, Shastra has to be interpreted by people. We have Shastra, we have the Vedas, but then we have the Shad Darshan, which Shad Darshan is it's a very broad term, because it's actually more than six. Just like we have Vedanta is one darshan, but there's a huge divide, which is the beginning of Vedanta darshan is Atato Brahma Jignasa. The subject to be understood is Brahma, but then immediately what is the nature of Brahma is absolute. Well, it's not contested. It goes up this far. Janmadyasya yataha. The Brahma, the absolute truth, as it's said in English, is that from which everything emanates, that in which everything exists, and that into which everything ultimately returns. Based on Taittiriya Upanishad, all commentators, whether they're Mayavadis or Vaishnavas, will quote this, yato, what is it? Yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti, etc. The absolute truth is that from which everything is born, that which in everything exists, and that into which everything returns. That is Brahma, that is the subject to be inquired about. So there we get the first two sutras of Vedanta Sutra. But then what is the nature of that Brahma? Well, actually the whole Vedanta Sutras explain that. But the Shankara takes it in an impersonal way. So it's practically two philosophies. And then in all of them, it's just like people talk about Buddhism. What do you mean Buddhism? What do you mean by saying Buddhism? There are so many different schools of Buddhism, and they don't agree with each other, and so many different things. They basically believe, yeah, Buddha said this, and practically in Buddhism, there's a huge divide. Nirvana, they all accept Nirvana as the ultimate, but practically in Mahayana, it's almost not like that. The thing, it's the Buddha nature, Bodhisattva. You have to go on Bodhisattva. And maybe later there's Nirvana, when you've delivered everyone in the whole universe. And it's almost like a different religion altogether. I mean, it's not even a religion. Well, Mahayana is religion, and Theravada is not a religion. Hare Krishna. So many ideas. So it has to be interpreted, and even we see within our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we are all supposed to read the books of Srila Prabhupada. Not everyone does. But even those who read the books, they have very different understandings of how to understand. And then we come to different points. Well, Prabhupada said this, but practically he behaved differently. I have personal experience, someone may say. And then their own personal experience trumps Shastra, what Prabhupada said, the whole tradition. Because Prabhupada, I interpreted what Prabhupada said to me like this. Or the way Prabhupada dealt with me, that is the absolute truth. So we're all becoming more confused by this talk, right? In here in Bhagavatam class, we're supposed to get more clear in our understanding. But so far, it's getting less and less clear. And then what's the solution? Mahajano yena gata sapanta. Follow in the footsteps of the Mahajan. But then different people choose different Mahajans. Ravana is the Mahajan for the Rakshasas. Einstein is the Mahajan for the scientists. Sadguru is the Mahajan for present generation of foolish people who want to be good Hindus and foolish at the same time. Or just good Hindus. We don't say good Hindu and foolish at the same time. It's understood. Even so, here we have the proprietor of the body. I was pointing that out. But then, if you analyze from another perspective, the day he is not the proprietor of the body either. Ultimately, the proprietor of the body, the proprietor of everything is Krishna. So here we are going and getting more confused. But Shastra is supposed to give us direction, isn't it? So if we end up getting more confused, what do we do? What do we do? Who got more confused by reading many scriptures? Who can think? In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes? Prime example, Chaitanya Bhagavat, who's the father of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami? Anyone? Don't all shout at once. Tapan Mishra. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to East Bengal as a youth before accepting sannyas, we say as a youth. He was married but still considered a youth. Whereas in the West, when you're married, you're not considered a youth and you're considered a man. At least it used to be, because I don't know if people get married. The only people who seem to be enthusiastic about marriage nowadays in the West are homosexuals. The heterosexuals don't bother getting married. A lot of them. So Tapan Mishra, he used to study many books and he couldn't understand what is the conclusion. Sadhya sadhana tattva. What is the goal of life and how to attain it? And he was very confused. And then in a dream at night, a beautiful woman came in his dream. Sarasvati? Maybe. Rupa Goswami also, a beautiful woman came in his dream. Nothing to do. Satyabhama. She's always jealous, right? You make a drama about me, she told him. I know, I won't be with all that. I don't even make a separate drama about me. So Sarasvati came and told him, look, stop being a bookworm. That was the exact word used. You have in English the word bookworm, and you have in Bengali also the same word, boy poker. Stop being a bookworm. There's literally a bookworm that makes little holes in books. Have you seen in the old manuscripts, old books? And it also refers to someone, you never see their face, because it's always in a book. So simply by reading many books, you cannot come to any conclusion. But look, Nimai Pandit, he came close to your village, go and see him. He will tell you what to do. So Tapan Mishra went to see Nimai Pandit, who had come close to his village, and said, I don't know what to do. He told him, chant Hare Krishna. That was the reply. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kivalam, Kalo Nastriva, 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 Gati Aranyata. This is from Shastra. It's from Shastra. But which injunction of Shastra to, what is most appropriate to a person in a certain situation? We have to see. This is applicable to everyone, right? Chant Hare Krishna. It's for everyone. Chant Hare Krishna. So Tapan Mishra, he must have seen that or been aware of that. We don't know. Nowadays everyone knows. When I say everyone, at least in my travels throughout India and meeting different pundits, and you meet Mayavadis and all different sampradayas, and anyone who studied Shastra, they'll all agree that in Kali Yuga you have to chant the holy names. They all agree. Whether or not they do it is something else. But they all know that the Yuga Dharma for Kali Yoga is chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, the Mayavadis think, well, that's for the lesser people who are doing bhakti, but we're already on the higher level. So yeah, you chant the holy names, you chant the Mayavadi, you chant my names, I'm already Hari myself. Dandagrahena Matrena Naro Narayana Bhavet. This is the kind of thing that Mayavadis come up. As soon as you take a stick to be a sannyasi, you immediately become Narayana. That's what they think. So everyone will agree with that, but then who will actually do that? Or who will underline it? Just like we emphasize it, make it clear for us, just like we have here these instructions. You're not the body. And every Hindu will agree, yes, 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 yes. The reincarnation, yes, yes, yes. But they don't. Who's going to bring it? Who's going to make them feel that, yes, actually, we are going to die, and then I'm going to have to get another birth based on what I do in this life? People used to have some fear of this. Again, I'm talking about my experience in India and neighboring countries going back almost 50 years. It used to be widespread that people would have a fear of performing sinful activities. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport to the Bharata Bhumite Hoilo Manusha Janmaja verse, Srila Prabhupada writes that even though the leaders of India are trying to induce the people to become sinful, then naturally they have a fear of illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and meat eating. They know these things are wrong. It's going down, but it's still there. It is still there, because if we go and tell people, or even we do some program in a college or something, and people, you might not even tell them that you have to stop eating meat, and they think, oh, maybe I should. Or they become a disciple of even some bogus guru, but then they think, oh, I should stop eating meat, because they have the idea that it's just there. There's something wrong with that. So it needs underlining. We have to chant the holy names. It has to be. And the holy names will purify. But actually, there is one narration of Jagannath Das Babaji. Was it Jagannath? Jagannath Das Babaji in Navadvip. When some young men came to him to be disciples, to be Babajis, and they thought they'll sit like him and chant all day. And he told them, you go in the sabji garden and you grow vegetables and they can be offered in the temple. So they're doing that. And after some days they came, they said, well, actually we came to do bhajan. We came to chant the holy names. And you've got, why are you making? He said, you do service in the dham and later you'll become qualified to chant the holy names. That story is there. Whereas we're going all over the world and we're asking people, somehow or other, trying to induce people to chant Hare Krishna. But then some people may be seeing that for them, we see that among our devotees also for some, actually for many of us, we're not really qualified to chant much. We need to do a lot of service. Prabhupada gave us a lot of active service, which is required for preaching Krishna consciousness, for spreading Krishna consciousness. But it's also required in many cases for our own nature, because we're raised in this active society, goal-oriented society, where we want to get things done, and we feel something lacking if we're not always doing something. I was thinking, actually, these farm communities we're making, we should come to that position again that we used to see in the villages in India. A lot of the time, there is a lot of work to do, but a lot of the time, there's no work to do. Just like if it's continuous rain for days and days and days, or in the heat, you can't go out and in the daytime. It's just too hot to do anything. Or there may be seasons in between rice harvests where there's not a lot of work to do. And then people, they're used to not having anything to do. And after dark, every day, after dark, or you're busy in the day, and then after dark, what do you do? And it used to be that people would, I saw in Bangladesh and West Bengal and Orissa and different, it was very common, people, they'd just go and chant Hare Krishna in the evenings. That's what they would do. What are you going to do? There's no TV, there's no electricity. Get out your mridangas, and they sit and chant for 2 hours together every day. That's what they do. And when you get older, what do you do? There's no work to do. You're not expected to, even if the older people... Some people, they like to work. Even they're 80 years old and they go on working. But some of them, they just sit. And then that idea is there also. When you get older, you work. And then when you get older, you sit and you do bhajan. And that's what they do. You just see old people. I used to see. They'd be sitting in the village and they're just sitting there chanting on beads. Because they have that, one thing is they have that culture, and they don't have the culture of always having to be busy and do something. And from childhood, they imbibe this. And so I'm thinking in our farm communities, we can also try to bring this in, that gradually we can actually bring people in who actually have a taste for chanting the holy names. It's not something we do in between everything else. The everything else is what we do in between chanting the holy names. Hearing Bhagavatam, it was a common thing. People would come and they would sit for hours and hours. The speakers, they'd have, just like we have our Shravan Kirtan camps, and especially at certain seasons of the year, winter, people would come around and then they'd just come and they'd talk for 2 or 3 hours. They'd give talks. People would sit and listen. They had that culture. This, I believe it was it Harvey Cox? He was a big theologian in America. He was open, very open and favorable to our Krishna conscious movement. Christian. So he visited Vrindavan and he was impressed by... He visited Vrindavan, and that was before Krishna Balaram Temple had been opened, I believe. And he was impressed that people, they're actually eager to talk about God. They're interested. And they have the time for it. And it's not that they're rushing off to do anything else. They'll sit and talk with you for hours. They have that culture. It used to be traveling on the trains in India. Not nowadays, because everyone's transfixed looking at their smartphone. They might move their neck from one side to the other every 10 minutes or so. But it used to be that I'd sit on a train, be like this, and then people would start talking, and usually get in some argument with some Mayavadi or something. But they're interested to talk anyway. One time I was going out of Hyderabad or Secunderabad, going somewhere, had all these boxes of Gitas for selling on the train. And then we got in the train and a couple of men got in opposite us. So what are in those boxes? He said, Bhagavad Gita. He said, show us. And without even starting to distribute the books, they distributed. The people were interested to buy them. So that culture... Of course, Kamsa was born in India also. It's not not that everyone's a devotee, but he understood the philosophy. When Vasudev spoke to him, he didn't say, well, I don't believe in all that reincarnation hogwash. He accepted it, but it was very, only for a short time, it was enough to put off his evil act of killing his sister. Of course, it wasn't only speaking philosophy, it was also telling him, you'll get a bad reputation. But he was willing to accept it. He was open to accept it. So we should promote this. at least promote this. There is birth and death repeatedly. What are you going to do about it? Human life is the chance to do something about it. Oh, it's talking about jurisprudence, right? I was just looking recently at some, they have the law journals when you go in an advocate's chambers, and the walls are stacked with so many books, and they have records of cases going back. And so there's some extract from some case in the early 20th century, which was argued in Madras, I believe it was, and it was on an inheritance case, because someone was claiming that, well, some of the inheritance should be given to me, because as a brahmana, it is required, the expenses are required for marriage. So the person arguing against that said that no, it's not essential. The question came up: is it essential for a brahmana to marry or not? And the lawyer on the other side was saying no, because you can remain unmarried and be a sannyasi as a brahmana. And then someone else was arguing, and it was his brother, who was also a lawyer, because you can see in there, as my learned brother has stated. But then he gave all. Because it's Hindu law, it's written in English, but they're both quoting from different shastras. And he's saying that, yes, sannyas is there, but the norm is that a brahmana has to get married. He's quoting from Manu and Parashara and Srimad Bhagavatam, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. They really had to know their stuff. Nowadays, if you go for a court case, it's very expensive. Very expensive. But previously, the brahmanas would be there, and you wouldn't have a court fee. There wouldn't be, the court would be, you'd be sitting in the village, and the brahmanas would be there, and they have to give their judgment, and they're not going to get paid for it, and you can't bribe them. You can't bribe them to give a wrong judgment. And but even they, the different brahmanas, they will give, and then ultimately has to be judged by someone or a group of brahmanas, and their character is such that you'll know that they're going to give a neutral judgment. Whereas then it comes now, the legal system absolutely corrupt. What's that verse in Bhagavatam 12th canto? Nyaya durbalyam. If you don't have money, you don't get justice. The term is there, nyaya durbalyam. You can look it up. Without money, you can't get justice. And the people previously, they couldn't, what does that mean? They couldn't, and just like Parikshit Maharaj, he couldn't relate. It was just, he couldn't believe it that someone was beating a cow. And then if you tell him that in later on, the leaders will be organizing slaughterhouses for killing cows, it's just not possible for him to imagine. So, what does it say? Yeah, just by the sign of having a thread, you'll be considered a Brahmin, for instance. Lingam, what is it? Lingam, show it to me. Give it to me. Hope I can work it. These are all predictions for Kali Yuga in the 12th canto. Lingam evashrama kyatav. One is said to belong to a certain caste, according to the if you have a shika and a sutra, you're a Brahmin, like that. Anyonya patikaranam. Just by, what does that mean? Just getting married. Oh, I see. You'll change from ashram to ashram and there. Ah, avritya naya durbalyam. If you don't have money, you don't have justice. In other words, there's no justice. Panditye chapalang vachaha. And if you can talk all nonsense, then you're considered a big pundit. Okay, I guess I should stop this talk right now. But I'm not talking nonsense, because I'm talking from Shastra. So what is the conclusion of all this? The Shastra is the center. One has to associate, if one is sincere to know for one's own highest benefit, one has to associate with persons who can guide us toward the highest benefit. How do you know? How do you know when so many people are saying so many different things? That is your luck. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. Good luck. Good luck. If you have good luck, you get a good guru. But then one has to be sincere. If one is sincere, one will get a proper guidance. If one wants to be cheated, there are plenty of cheaters to cheat us. And sometimes we see in our movement, we think, but oh, this guru has so many followers, maybe we should adopt some of their techniques, like talking all nonsense. Then we get more followers. But that doesn't work. Well, it does work. You might get more followers, but then you get all nonsense people. It's like that. Is that in Hitopadesh, is it? Srila Prabhupada quotes that the rabbit says to the tiger that, well, I have a litter of rabbits, I 10 rabbits every month, and you only get one tiger every year. And the tiger says, yeah, but my child is a tiger, and then swallows the rabbit. That's not in the story, right? So again, we come to the Charnakya again. Ekas chandras tamohanti kinnatara sahasrashaha. One moon is worth more than millions of stars. So if we're lucky, it means we have to pray. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is to make people fortunate, to awaken in them the desire for their... You go to a guru, jignyasu shreya uttamam, to ask about our highest benefit. So we have to awaken people to begin to ask about their highest benefit. They don't know what it is. They don't know what it is. Maya mugda jiva nahi svata krishna gan. Jiberi kripa koile krishna bed puran. People don't know what their real benefit is. So Krishna very kindly gave them Vedas and Puranas, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. Study of which, what is that verse? Bhakti Yoga Madhok Sajay. How does that begin? No. People don't know that their real benefit in life is from devotion. Anarthos pashavang sakshat bhakti yoga madhokshaje lokas yajanato vidvangs chakre satvata sanghitam. People don't know that their real goal of... Yeah, the word adhokshaja comes in the same verse. People don't know that their... The word adhokshaja comes in several verses in Bhagavatam. So it's not just one verse. People don't know that their... All their troubles can be dispelled simply by devotional service to Krishna. So, Vyasadev, who knows, compiled the Bhagavatam, the effect of hearing which is Shoka Moha Bhayapahaha. That's the two verses. All lamentation, fear, and illusion go away by hearing Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Any question, comment, protest? Is it a question, a comment, a protest, or a blessing? Got your hand out like that. It means blessing. Do we have a mic there? Or you can yell it out and I'll repeat it. You don't have to yell. You just talk in your normal voice.
Thank you very much for the nice lecture.
All right. That's a standard thing to say.
You mentioned about that there are many... this concept. So we are starting a book which is called Philosophy of Fall Down. So what do you
see? There are many philosophical misconceptions. You are writing a book called?
When are they turning to be philosophical fall downs?
Philosophic fall downs.
When it sits, what is like the cutting line when it sits from the...
Where does it tip? What is the tipping point between between bhakti siddhanta and upasiddhanta? It's not really a tipping point. You're either there or you're not, because shurasya dhara nishita duratyaya, it's a razor's edge. It's a very fine line. Can be a little bit and you're deviated. There's not a lot of leeway. You're either on track or you're not. That's a general answer. Another question?
I still don't get that, because the Shastras, like Karyam Karyam Vastika, these are the scriptures guide us. So...
Scriptures guide us, so? So, what is the question?
The question is, by reading so many scriptures, it gets confused.
By reading so many scriptures, you can be confused, yeah?
What is the solution?
What is the solution? Tad vijnanartham sagurum eva bhigachit. Go to a guru. That is the solution that's given in Shastra. And gurus should be shabde param cha nishnatam brahmanyu pashama ashrayam. He should be absorbed in the Shastra. It literally means bathed in the Shastra, plunged in the Shastra. And also, he should have fully taken shelter of Brahma by the Parampara system. Brahmanya, what is it? Take shelter, should be fixed, realized. Not by imagination, but by following the process which is given by previous acharyas. He's not inventing anything new.
But Maharaj, you may not be able to.
You may not be able to. So yeah, there are many things to consider. You can, two people can get the same guru and get the same instruction and completely misunderstand. That's there in Chandogya Upanishad. Isn't it that the devas send their representative Indra and the asuras send their representative, or their leader, Virochana. They both went to Prajapati, who's understood to mean Brahma in this context. And they both wanted to know what is Atma-gyan, what is the nature of the Atma. So he sent them both away to do a bunch of austerities for a few thousand years or something like that. And then they both came back. And then Brahma says that you look in a mirror of clear water, bowl of clear water, and what you see, that is the Atma. So they both went and looked in the water, they saw their face, and Virochana went back to the Asuras and said, the body is the self. And they all accepted it. And then Indra, he went back and they said, yeah, really, are you sure? So then he went back. Then Indra went back and said, well, I'm not really satisfied with that answer. Is that really correct? And then now Virochana has gone and he's propagating to all the demons that the body is the self. And I got it from the guru. And then Indra, he got sent away for some more austerities, and gradually he brought him up to the proper understanding. So maybe sometimes that guru gives an instruction. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur talks about that. Sometimes guru gives instructions to cheat the disciple because the disciple wants to be cheated. Again, the question, do you tell the truth to someone If they're not going to listen to it, maybe not. The guru may praise the disciple, "Oh, you're so wonderful," because he knows that the disciple, if you tell him the truth that he's a rascal, he can't accept it. So at least tell him he's wonderful. At least he may go on chanting Hare Krishna. And maybe at some point in his existence he could become ready to actually hear and be prepared to be purified. Big topics. Let's finish it there. Because we have to do work. Right? There's a lot of work to do in this Krishna consciousness movement. Vancha kalpa tarubhya scharkipa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nithaya chunakang padaya nipatya kritva chakka kushatam etad aham bravimi hey sadhava sakaleva vihaya durad goranga chandra charne kuruta Parivadatu jano yata tata ba nanamukarana vayang vicharyama Hari rasa madira madati madha bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishnam Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna